delegation from the IMC. Just give us permission to dispense with the committee report of the FABC.
It shouldn't take us too long because we're not opening for the 2 minutes just to read through the report and then we can process it. Copies are available. If any, who hasn't got a copy?
Yes, I don't have.
My story
and Mr. Swartz.
And Mr. Peterson.
And Mr. Peterson.
All right, can you just read the report so that we don't waste too much time? Okay, have you had time to read the report? I want to say that I don't think we need to debate this report. We want to establish whether it accurately captures the proceedings of the two meetings that we held, and if there are no factual inaccuracies, I want to put the report for adoption. You're voting again. Now we come to the voting. Mr. Peterson?
I think the report is absolutely clear. And you're absolutely right. I don't see any need for further debate on the report. We were in the meeting. So we're ready for the next step.
Can I just ask one matter because I'm not too sure myself? The leaked memorandum, was it the decision of the board that the chairperson of the board would investigate the matter? Because what we've got here is the chairperson, the deputy chairperson, and Ms. Lagardine. And my memory seems to indicate that it was the chairperson who was tasked to investigate the leak specifically.
Yes.
Mr. Nimalo?
Yes, chairperson. That is for operating the debate, chairperson. I don't know.
Is it the committee of three or is it only the chairperson? That's what I want to just get the factual position.
Only the chairperson.
The chairperson was mandated by the board to investigate the leak.
Yes.
Can we just correct that? If
correct.
Right. Was only the chairperson, comprised only the chairperson, right? So we will delete, we put a full stop after chairperson, comprised only the chairperson, or the chairperson only. People who are better than me in grammar will get it right. Okay, if with that slight amendment, are there any other changes that we want to make to the report? No. Can I put the report then to the committee for adoption?
Adoption of the report.
Mr. adoption of the report. Must there be a second?
Yeah.
Any objection? DA objection? Noted. Any other parties here? We've got a standing apology of Ms. Croft. She's at the Pan African Parliament on official responsibility. So, with this report being approved, I want to indicate that this report will now be placed on the ATC. Yes. The report will be published in the ATC, and I'm told that it will be scheduled for a debate in the House on the 22nd of May. It's next week Thursday. So the report will be debated in the House. Thank you very much.
Just on this report, I'm not sure, because my understanding of the adoption is this is what transpired in the committee, whether we like the content or not.
On the contrary, what does it say at the end? What does it say?
Yes. No, but this is what happened in the meeting, the secretary.
Sure.
Now, you only agree or disagree of what happened in the meeting.
Mr. Peterson, let's agree that we're not going to debate this.
Okay.
We've approved the report, and we are recommending that the matter be debated in the House. So all the arguments from all the political parties for and against the report will be debated next week.
Yes.
And I would like to invite the media and the IMC and everybody else to participate and to be present for that debate. Thank you very much. We can then call upon the IMC, Mr. Maseko, Mr. Muketsi. I know that you have gone to extreme lengths to get members of the board. We want to thank you for that. And I'm going to hand over to you to introduce your team and members of the board who are present and to do your presentation. I know the venue is not very conducive to a committee meeting, but that's the best we could do today. So we'll give time to the technical people to set up the thing, and then over to you. Yes, you can. Thank you very much. Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Good. It's debated, ne? Report to be debated.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members, for the opportunity again, and for allowing us to come back. As the Chairperson correctly pointed out, we were able, Chairperson, to bring a couple of our board members. Let me just announce the board members that are here today, Chair, and committee members. We have Temba Masako, we have Bongani Maseko, we have Mr.
Where are they?
Mandy,
they can just.
Bongani, Chairman of the Syndicator, where you are seated, Pindi, the Mandy, Roy Marcus, and Mr. Jay Gupta. I must also apologize, again, on behalf of other trustees who unfortunately could not and were not able to be able to change their appointment. Again, they want me to say that no sign of disrespect at all, just the question of if they're coming on their own. And they sincerely approve that. Chairperson, I'm also with the managers from the International Marketing Council. Very often in these organizations, people will see people like us, but I thought it is only fair for committees also to know that AMC is in good hands. The manager's role here is Karen Steele. We just please raise your hand. It's Margaret Dimalo. It's Moele Kimabuku. Paul McKenzie, who is the chief operating officer, is with me here. Sofima Kipa. Vera Anyaka. What I'm going to try to do, Chairperson, is just to be able to really present very, very briefly. We have signed a comprehensive copy of the strategic plan that will cover our work from 2008 to 2010, but for the purpose of this discussion, Chairperson, we actually will have much more summary because we have already sent the detailed copy. And if you allow me, I will take that as well, Chair, but I'll also try to cover as much as possible. Please go ahead. Just in terms of the content of our discussion today, we will talk about why a nation blending is important. We will give the committee an indication of our work in 2007-2008. What are some of the current priorities that we're going to be looking at in terms of moving forward? We'll give you a sense of the stakeholders that are important in terms of branding and marketing in our country, the strategic objectives for the next 3 years, and really some of the shifts that we have had to do. One of the things that we do quite often, Chairperson, is to be able to look back at some of the work that you've done and to be able to say that what is it that you've done well and some of the things that really need to change. So those shifts will actually really indicate that. Some of the exciting campaigns moving forward. In our work, we have some challenges, Chairperson, we will put those challenges forward and ask for guidance from the committee and indeed some of the players standing are moving forward. Chairperson, as a way of starting, I thought I would remind the Portfolio Committee the importance of the work of the International Marketing Council. The role of the IMC is to coordinate domestic and international marketing for South Africa in order that as a country can be able to achieve a strong, differentiated, and competitive for our nation brand. But that is important in doing that we carry and we build the pride of South Africans, and of course the country's attractiveness and standing as a destination. In doing that, there are other partners that are important. The Department of Trade and Industry, South African Tourism, Corporate South Africa, and many others. Now, this question arises very often. Why is it that actually countries are so much involved in branding themselves? And the issue of a nation branding is well established, well researched at the craft. Nation branding is an important concept in today's world, simply because in a globalizing world, it means that countries compete with each other in terms of attention, for respect, trust of investors, tourists, consumers, donors, immigrants, the media, and the government of other nations. Therefore, it is very, very important that in order to position ourselves effectively, that we actually have to develop a very good brand to be able to continue to be effective in the global market. In achieving that, there are certain variables that are very important in nation branding. Tourism. Travel and tourism is one of the fastest industries in the world today. For our country, fortunately, we are very, very competitive, and we can continue to grow. The people, especially as it relates to skill and the openness, investment and immigration, in terms of like showing the world the investment potential of South Africa and the attractiveness to the outsiders, export, level of satisfaction with the country's products and services, culture and heritage, in terms of the commercial culture products and clothing plants, governance, competency, fair governance, human rights, international constitution. These are quite important chapters in the sense that whatever we do or don't do, portfolio committee members, it is quite critical in terms of like how they relate to each other. So we can do well in tourism. If we don't do well in the skilling of our people, then it can affect our performance. We can do well in the export card or investments, but if we don't do well in the government, all these things have to be firing in all cylinders for us to continue to be a strong brand globally. Chairperson, the International Marketing Council was extremely busy in 2007 and in 2008. I'm not going to attempt to show you all the work that we did in the past year, but just to give you a sense of some of the campaigns we ran. South Africa as a destination, we showed at least a 2,418 spot on CNBC and CNN International. We also had 100 branded London taxis where the message of South Africa as a destination from trade, investment, and tourism was displayed. We also were, we had presence on an online advertising on CNN website, Times, the Times of India, Fortune, and The Economist. We also ran a print advertising in magazines such as Times, Fortune, and Economist. And these are quite important even when we choose some of these things to make sure that we play in the segment with a high propensity for these people to invest and come to our country. In terms of continued global marketing, the website South Africa Info achieved a hit of about 3.1 million, and the is of less impressions is concerned, and of course we had the 300,000 unique visitors and users who visited the site. The SA Story 3 was translated in 7 languages. 2 outbound trade and investment missions to the United States and India. We also launched the Global South African Project in the US and in the UK, and introduced MediaClubSouthAfrica.com. Domestic marketing is also important, because it does not matter how much international marketing we do if we cannot inspire South Africans to be able to lead and to live to the promise that we stand in the international market in small world. We did do some work in the international marketing. We did do some work insofar as the domestic marketing is concerned. One of the things that we did was brand essence alignment with South African Tourism, the Department of Trade, Investment, and Local Organizing Committee. I just want to pause and talk about this particular issue of brand alignment. If you can imagine, Chaplain, in this country today, we have about 11 different marketing authorities marketing South Africa internationally. Very often saying different messages, very often showing 11 different logos, and therefore causing a lot of confusion in the international market. The project of brand alignment is aimed at making sure that as a South Africa, given our limited resources, that our message is coordinated properly. And so that when we go overseas, that we are as coordinated and as loud and as clear as is possible. So this is really an attempt to try to really make sure that we align our work as effectively as possibly as it can be. And which is why we continue to do messaging and branding alignment with the provinces, because even in the provinces, tourism, investment, and trade takes place, but our message has to be the same in terms of moving forward. The campaign in terms of Moments of Pride, which is a PR campaign, again, in terms of continuing to inspire our South Africans. There was a beautiful advert that we launched domestically. We've done it before, reminding South Africans of our resilience as a nation, that despite of some of the difficulties that we're facing today, that we are very, very resilient people, and we must continue to work together in terms of achieving the objectives of our country. We have an annual partnership conference, 2010 Communication Partnerships, which is really aimed at making sure that we align communication and we work together as different partners to improve the communication of 2010. We participated in the 60th World Newspaper Congress, which was addressed by the Deputy President. This was quite important because we had senior editors from around the world. This was an opportunity again to be able to send the message properly, and then we continue to make sure that we effect and influence the perception of South Africa as a destination. We had International Media Forum in 2007 and relaunched the brand champion campaign. Chairperson, the portfolio committee together with the cabinet made 111 million available. We used the money exactly. About 50% of that was on the global marketing. About 27% of that was on the domestic side. And of course, about 21% was in terms of support. And we just really indicate what consists the support element of the budget. In terms of moving forward, Chairperson, we intend to focus. We have been able to really identify very specific areas of the market where we should be doing business. Number one, we have identified thought leaders, our government, officials, our government leaders, business, media, and academia. These are people that always go outside. We're going to be working with them in terms of making sure that the messaging of our country is actually done properly. In terms of investors, focusing on trade and investment, we have identified that as segment two. Visitors, in terms of like making sure that we continue to promote our tourism, South Africa is a world-class travel and tourism destination, and in fact, civil society, to continue to inspire South Africans to be proud of their country in terms of being good citizens on the one part. But we also say that, you know, tourism is everyone's business, so play your part. So in terms of encouraging South Africans to continue to play their part in terms of bringing people to, you know, together. Chairperson, in terms of looking at, if you look at the brand promise of South Africa, as I said, there are many other people other than us who deliver this. And it is about understanding that while INC, it is really the custodian of brand promise, there are many other people who do that. And our job is to continue to work with these people and to make sure that we influence their decisions. Civil society, as I said, thought leaders, visitors, and investors. We are not praying and we are not praying. We have identified very specific countries where we believe when we will play effectively and to be able to get as much traction out of these markets as is possible. And in doing that, we have made sure that the strategy and the choices that the International Marketing Council has made are aligned with those of Department of Trade and Industry, Department of Foreign Affairs, and indeed South African Tourism. So these are the countries that we have chosen where we are doing and where most of the resources will be actually really focused. China, India, the US, the UK and the EU, Brazil, the UAE, Russia, and of course Africa through an increased relationship with the Department of Foreign Affairs and recognizing African interest in 2010 FIFA World Cup. There are very specific elements, Chairperson, that we're going to, in terms of activities that we're going to do. I'm not going to go into details, but I do want to give the Chairperson and the portfolio member a sense of what it is. If you look at on the international side, I have said that we have identified investors as a segment which is important. And the objective there will be to increase familiarity and knowledge of South Africa as a destination insofar as trade and investment is concerned. And these are some of the activities that we're going to be doing. We have also identified exports as a segment, and their objective is really about integrating marketing of core clusters and industries in key markets. We have many, many different clusters in our country. We need to make sure that the message that we develop is clear and simple so that people know what it is that we have and how they can be able to interact with us. The other one is the whole project of global citizens. This is about mobilizing South Africans living abroad to market South Africa. South Africa is one of the very few countries when you go out or abroad, you hear somebody say that I'm an ex-South African. It's nothing like an ex-South African. We want to say that every South African, both at home and abroad, they must always feel proud about their country. And therefore to know that if it is they are abroad, they can continue to be able to do good work for the country. The global citizen campaign, it is about continuing to engage with South Africans living abroad so that they continue to really feel good about the country and indeed support the objectives of the country. Global media is a very important element. We will continue to proactive engagement with them and form partnerships. This happens in many ways when we go abroad, but also we have very specific organized media trips where we bring them into South Africa. And we really systematically take them through our country in terms of them making them to understand some of the elements that they may not, but make sure that the message that what they write about basically really is actually what we are about. The other segment is that one of visitors, mobilize potential tourists to South Africa in the consideration there. One of the most interesting thing about travel is that when people leave South Africa, when you ask them, "Have you had a good time?" He said, "Absolutely, my expectations were exceeded." We asked them, "Will you come back?" They said, "Yes, we will come back in the next 2 years." We asked them, "Will you recommend South Africa?" They said, "Yes," to members of their family and to their friends. The whole element is about making sure that the tourists, when they leave South Africa, they leave South Africa as our ambassador and they become our messenger. in terms of sending positive stories, especially now that they've been here. The other segment is that one of civil society. The objective there, sustained effort to build pride and patriotism, especially as we move towards the 2010. While 2010 is not an end in itself, but we want South Africans to continue to think out and infuse about our ability to host 2010 and to continue to really be good ambassadors and to really play their part. Because very, very soon we're going to be asking them to volunteer in terms of delivering this big spectacle. This campaign is really about that. But also it's about talking to South Africans, you know, the Movement for Good campaign. What kind of South Africa do you want to be? And as an ordinary citizen, what are you prepared to do to be able to get that kind of a country? And to start to engage with our people in a very, very straight and frank way to make sure that they become really part of this good movement for good in terms of building a good country in which we live. Of course, the local media is a very, very important segment. We continue to have programs to proactively engage them, develop partnerships, so that, again, the message is clear and it's loud. Corporate South Africa and academia, very, very influential people. We have a lot of people in the corporate sector that are highly influential in terms of like the business that they do abroad, but at home. Our academics are always giving papers in major conferences around the world. Some of these guys are extremely, extremely respected around the world. And when they become our brand ambassadors and we actually tell them and work with them in terms of like what is it that they can say, then they can actually really be empowered. Our government is always on the move in terms of engaging with other governments around the world. We also host heads of state in this country. It's about making sure that we work together to be able to deal with that. But also to be quite frank, to say that in the brand building exercise, there are certain things that if they are not done correctly, that are actually affecting the impact of the destination. For an example, if we are not good in communicating government policy on various couple of things, and it's not clear in the international media, it has the potential to undermine everything that we're trying to do. So it's about working with government to say that we need to be clear, we need to be swift, and we need to be fair, and let us actually be able to work together. And we're trying to really work with other government departments in this area to make this area clear for them. Chairperson, in terms of some of the strategic shifts that we have effected in terms of moving forward, integrating of international and domestic media, one story for all. We cannot say one thing in the international media and say the other in the domestic, which really does not necessarily connect. So it is about how consistent, while we recognize that the global market and the domestic are two segments, but we believe that the fundamental base of the message must be consistent in between. Increased allocation of resources to the East, China and India. We know that these two giants continue to grow, and in terms of our improving our effectiveness, there's a shift that has taken place to make sure that that takes place. Of course, in the future, it's about broadening our scope into Africa, Russia, Brazil, and the Middle East. Increased focus on domestic mobilization. I think if there's a bigger shift that is taking place, that the board of IMC has really pushed us to be able to really do this. It's about saying that domestic market is important. And to say that we need to make sure that we shift also the resources to reflect that. That we engage the domestic market and we can become effective in that sense. Also moving away from really targeting too many people, just as I said, it's about really being much more targeted from an approach point of view. We speak with smaller but highly effective, you know, groups of people that we continue to bring in as ambassadors. And of course the development of a crisis management communication strategy with key stakeholders. It's not always that things are going right, but when they do go wrong, we need to be able to know what it is to do and to be able to recover as soon as possible. The message, as I said, has to be single-minded. Active Citizenship Campaign is a campaign that members will see. It's been launched last month. It will be on television very, very soon. And again, it's about really making sure that South Africans are inspired and you show positive stories of what the country has to offer. On the other side is investment in South Africa. But this whole circle has to work clockwise in making sure that the message is as consistent as it is. Chairperson, there will be the campaigns that are going up in the international market in 2008-2009, the one on investing in South Africa. That is the investment video which we use when we have big meetings, both at home and globally. And of course, which I spoke earlier about the media at last, which we launched last year, and then we'll continue to do that forward. We're going to come back again as part of inspiring our people, reminding South Africans that we've done this before, and then we continue as we get prepared for 2010. The movement for good, we have gotten some good ambassadors. We actually really say that as a South African, I'm prepared to do something. Brian Habana has agreed, and many other South Africans, to say that I am ready to be able to share positive stories about my country and to inspire other South Africans also to follow. There will also be a series of stories of ordinary South Africans who do extraordinary things. When a cloud of negativity is hanging, people start to feel very hopeless and despondent. These stories are aimed at trying to inspire them to say that despite that, there are so many other ordinary South Africans who are doing extraordinary things. So we will share what those are, and hopefully we can again inspire South Africans to come again to the tour and be positive about the country. Chairperson, we do have challenges. While I understand that the portfolio committee is not a place where you come and try to argue for budget, Chairperson, but I think it's important just to highlight this particular point. The mandate of the international market in is very, very big. The resources, of course, continue to be a challenge. We do understand that the portfolio committee have a range of priorities and choices that they have to make. We just say that next year when you do that, think about how important this topic is, and hopefully we can be on your book. Of course, building and maintaining a digital capacity to fulfill the objectives leading up to 2010 is a big issue. We do understand that we have to do more with less, but we're saying that we must not underestimate the mandate of 2010 and the opportunity that it presents us. Ability to serve a varied stakeholder group and their different demands. We are a custodian, we are actually interlinked to so many other stakeholders, and we always find ourselves in the mood trying to meet them. Externally, we do not own the brand, we are just a custodian of it. So we rely on other actors to be able to work to work with us. And that's why it's so important that we develop a way of messaging that we are consistent at all times. We deal with perceptions created by external events and media coverage, such as the competitiveness of South Africa, the issue of crime. I cannot even start to emphasize. This issue, Mr. Chaplin, is very, very important. I just came back in March from Berlin, Germany, where we had one of the biggest shows there. I basically walked into a storm insofar as that is concerned. This is one thing that our country must be resolved about it and deal with it, be it real or be it perceptual. But it continues to change the image of South Africa as a destination. It really does undermine our world, and it does undermine the work of the International Marketing Council. And we would like to really be working with the portfolio committee on this in terms of guidance, because it's one of the challenges that we really face in the global arena. Chairperson, I think I'll really just challenge stop there. You have allocated us our budget. We have taken care in splitting it to be able to make sure that we do that effectively. And that's how it looks like. And this is really now the spend over a 3-year period, Chairperson. That's really indicating the shift that you're making in our resource allocation over a 3-year period. This is just really a graph that's really just making it easy. You can see that we are actually increasing the domestic spend year on year. Thank you very much, Chairperson. We'll be happy to take some questions. I'm told that we can also be able just to show some of the web that is going to go into the market with your permission. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. John, is it strictly to just two address, the local one and the international one?
Okay. In terms of the first address for us there, what is the investment SAS? Basically, the insight about the investment SAS was that globally, people are familiar with South Africa, but they don't, well, they are aware of South Africa, but they're not really familiar with it. So people are aware that South Africa exists, but what they're familiar with about South Africa is quite limited. So we're really known as a tourism destination for really just for our resources. But what we also, I think Mr. Mukura really alluded to was that unless people have experienced South Africa, they've got their own notion about what Joburg looks like. Often you see pictures of Edison on a dusty road and the catchment is the Johannesburg. So what we basically, this ad aims to do is to match South Africa against the rest of the world. It says we are a sophisticated country that has sophisticated infrastructure, for roads, for transportation, for infrastructure. And unless people see that, they don't believe that they can come invest in your country because they don't think that their businesses can thrive here. So that, this ad really aims to surprise the world about what we have to offer.
This is one of our finest pieces of work.
No, it's not a speaker,
it's
fine. We know that the elephant park is in Johannesburg. There's no dispute and debate about that. Thank you very much. Members, open for comments, questions. Jane? Okay. Sorry there.
And but so I would like to see if you want to tie all these people with very busy lives into to come and to tell you that I do have.
Fine. But put your questions, we'll engage with that now. Okay. No, but put your questions on.
Maybe on the departure of Ms. Yvonne Johnson. We have become accustomed to being reported to by her, so we would like to know what happened. And then there are some questions arising. The basis on which the IMC works is, I think I'm correctly saying, a trust. But it is not necessary to review now the basis on which it works. Presumably, the non-executive board members, who are people of some eminence, serve on this entity, which I'm very good with the very community. I have a concern for this country, and also for the players would like to see confidence available to go. However, it seems to me that we have just now in this year hit a certain difficulty. The IMC is after all created by a government and ministry and department. There is a sitting president in this country, elected by the parliament as the constitution dictates. However, I see the IMC now marketing Mr. Zuma, who, irrespective of the fact that he's been elected And it seems to me there is now a difficulty. There's mention in some of your documents about a shareholder compact which is to be created or written, and I would just like to hear people on the subject, because it seems to me that the INC is in danger of straying across what I would have put it wrong. If at the end of the day it is created by the city and government. I have a question arising from that. Who pays for the city that overseas visits? What happened to everyone? What is the basis of the IMC functioning? Is it a trustee? Is it under review? Or should it not be under review? Because it is created by government in the first place. Who pays for the most of it? And then I want to ask you about the domestic army of your marketing. I suppose even the global army. You said to us today that a country has to take all 6 points on the Higgs point into account. You have to market on everything. It has to be the trade and tourism, it has to be the culture and so forth. And it also has to be the governance. Okay? Now, it's on the governance bubble that I think we are now getting some problems. You said to us that you have to deal with all of those things, therefore part of your marketing work is instilling this sort of governance confidence, but in my view, you are straying into the field of politics. But why is that the case when there are some countries who market simply investment in trade and tourism? So why is it necessarily the case that you have to deal with governance and dissemination? And I'm asking this, and I'm trying to think what can we do here, because I think we're looking for interpreters. And the domestic campaign is quite important of that, you see. So my question to you is, what is patriotism? I think we've raised with Yvonne before. I've raised it several times, in fact. Because at what point do you stray beyond marketing, which I think you need to be confident, into politicking? Now, you're running a campaign now asking citizens about their ideal country. It comes from this side, IFCOM. IFCOM, which has let us all down so badly, is contributing, according to your documents. It's a modest amount, but 5 million. So, you know, South African citizens are not fools. We can see that the Eskom has let us down very badly. Now, what is this marketing of confidence when it starts obscuring the actual facts? Does it not then intrude on the pure political process, which is what gives us the confidence at the end of the day?
Is it
different? You know, let me start by acknowledging IMC. From where I am, and I checked with the CEO earlier this morning, I watched him on Morning Live yesterday and a lot of time. You guys are doing great work. I'm just worried when are you coming to my constituency, one of the most beautiful places on planet Earth that are better than me. So from that side, that we have two diverse parts. What is happening in South Africa. They have the most beautiful part from the seabed up into the mountains, the Benelux. And then have a stark reality, Kwanakatula, Bosisa, all of that, where they're extreme poor. In fact, I want to use the word of the president when he said his understanding of poor has a particular meaning. When you walk among the people, you will see that poor is little the sort of actually describing the conditions that they live. It's those kind of contradictions that is there. We have a tendency to concentrate only on the bad things, that's what IMC is trying to do. And to say, of course it's a power cut. Of course we're all unhappy, as a tripartite alliance expresses so eloquently about Eskom and electricity and price and all of that. But we have so much common good in this country. And I think what IMC is trying to do is to say, here's the common good. Let somebody else that's been paid to deal with it, it's not good, let them deal with it, and that also does remind you about the beauty of the country. Jefferson, you know, let me also start by saying, the previous CEO, nobody can dispute, I know, I hope to get from you, trust you, honorable people, that will say, what really caused the breakdown where the previous CEO left? She's been doing great work on the IMC. There's no doubt about it.
But I'm sure, as well as it has become, remember when it started off, everybody was skeptical. And the IMG developed in a good unit. And I'm sure, as the new CEO comes in, they will also develop in a good unit. Where there's trust again and confidence. I'm not saying there's none, I'm just saying you will get to that new CEO as a set of big shoes to fill, that of Yvonne Bronson. But I'm sure, I'm confident that person will be able to do the same work and maybe even better with the kind of support you have established brand and all of that. The question I want to ask, you know, we have this homecoming and everybody must come home. Is it possible that people could by choice, not people out of anger, the discipline of the economy, can they stay wherever they are in the rest of the world and still do good work for the country? Not all of them work from this village called South Africa. How do they stay in Australia and do excellent work for us up there? Or wherever they are, do I don't know, I'm just asking because we seem to be, the person must have come home. If he doesn't come home, we call him a sellout and a traitor and all kinds of bad things. Well, then gone, it creates new opportunities, fresh opportunities for others to grow into them even more. So is it possible for them to stay there? That we don't like spend all our money to bring people back when they have the choice to stay there and do good work for us?
What's that?
No, thank you. I'll get back to you with my colleague Andrew. But it's just back up on Mr. Johnson, right, that you recall that last week when the decision was to not continue the presentation because we need at least five non-executive members on the board here, and we do not have five, but that's the point I don't mind about this. One of the reasons I put forward the need to have such non-executive members here is was that the result of the briefing by the GSA is that by morning, where in some way reasons for Ms. Johnson's issue or moving away was given that the strategic plan of the IMC that was put forward in December last year was not approved due to the lack of not being positive enough, or they were, or it was too negative in terms of grounding the country. Now that was a strange remark for me. And I didn't take that was the CEO of the GSIS who told us that, because in part I always experienced that, in particular in terms of the Johnson and the IOC in total, I've always found a very positive attitude in terms of grounding the country. It was a very strange remark, and I would really like to say, and I think that's what we all agreed on last week, but we need to have answers on that by non-executive board members, how they understand this whole thing, how they saw it unfolding, and what happened exactly. That's my first question, my first request. Chair, then the presentation itself, while I concur with my colleague Dean regarding the things we need to ground or look at, I'm particularly concerned about Africa. We are really losing the popularity contest in Africa and it's been going for a number of years. And I'm concerned about that, and I do know that some other committees deal with these type of things regarding our situation in Africa are also concerned about this problem. It's a multifaceted problem. We are to some extent being regarded by number of sizable countries in Africa as being bullies, and my concern is if we are branding South Africa, we need to do that. So we need to use a very particular way in Africa because it's very important. It is our continent, and we need to do it in a very specific way. But my concern, when we talk about all these things, is that our governed by itself in the way they brand the governance, and I'm quite sure is very much the bigger part of the reason why we are experiencing a much more negative attitude from certain countries in Africa towards South Africa. So maybe we need to look at the possibility of not be so thoughtful when you talk about branding our country in Africa in terms of, which sometimes sounds like America. And if I say that, it's really it sometimes sounds like America. We are the big boys of the block in Africa. And I do know that the other countries don't take kindly
So maybe we need to think about the possibility of when we talk about branding in South Africa, in Africa itself, that we should look at culture, we should look at that tourism and all the other nice things instead of trying to force a specific bullish type of government attitude. Just talk to Mark on the African part. Then I look at the priorities on a global level. And in particular, of course, Randy is putting it in a very strange way. We don't want the people to come home or this homecoming thing. They can stay with our, of course, anybody who is coming can stay with our as they wish, and they can come back as they wish. That's not the issue. The issue is very much the way the rest of this global village sees our country. And that is important to me. Now, I look at your priorities, and we are sitting in a situation that we are, let's say, have hundreds of thousands of South Africans, and I don't want to call them ex-South Africans, South Africans at the moment living in New Zealand and Australia and in Canada, apart from the numbers in the UK. But there's no priority there. And I also know, because we rub shoulders with these people, all of us, at various stages, and we hear tales from the expats and the way they perceive what our sensational media puts out on the internet, just publications, they perceive a very negative picture of South Africa. Maybe justified to some extent, what in the case of that is not your job is to brand this country. Do you have any strategic plan or action in place or in any way to try and either counter the negative remarks of those parts of our communities who left, in particular in places like Australia and New Zealand, or to influence them to readjust their views, or to, apart from what they're saying, from our part, try to really run this country of ours, the real country, in a very positive way, whilst acknowledging the problem, but to look at the possibilities and what we can do. My question is particularly regarding the Australian country called New Zealand. Thank you, Charles. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Remember I said last week, you said the IDC must go and come back today with some complimentary reports. Would our first thank them for doing that, just that. Because there are questions like the questions that have been asked about the CEO, which would need the response from the board, not from the minister. Thank you very much, all of you, for coming. This is very important for you to come to the portfolio committee, because we believe that if you report, let's report to the portfolio committee. Your coming here is very important. I have a question though, Chairperson, from page 11, where the civil society is mentioned, local and global citizens and civic organizations. In what form are these going to be taken?
Before you respond, can I just, I think we must clarify this issue of attendance by board members so that we have a common understanding of the committee. I know that the historical practice has been that the officials come with the chairperson of the board. Now there were good arguments for that, for that kind of practice, and my sense is that it's a practice that's uniformly adopted by other committees in Parliament when entities report to Parliament. But I think we have experienced a situation where there's controversy or a serious problem. It might be advisable to bring a few of the other board members so that you get a sense of what is their thinking. And certainly, I mean, our decision to bring a wider range of board members here, SCVC board members, the other day, I think was helpful for us to get an insight into what were the dynamics in that board, because I don't think that sometimes just one person coming, even if the chairperson, might well capture what is happening in a particular institution. And it's with that in mind that the committee had taken a decision that we should try and get as representative and sample. Now, I know some people say all of them must be present, but I think that's not advisable either. Right? Because it's not fair to hold 12 people, because there are cost implications, etc., particularly for the small entities. But I think as a practice, if we can get the chairperson or the deputy chairperson of the board, and as many other people who are available, and if the funding is available within the entity, they should try and come. It's a useful way. I think, Ms. Musk, let's engage over this matter. It's no point that we respond to the press, etc., because I think we want to take a decision as a committee. And let's have a consensus, because it's not a matter that we need to fight about. But I think there's merit in getting a few more people. Because it's also the only opportunity we have to engage with other members of the board. This is the first time I see Mr. Market. Is it Mr. Market? The first time in my life I see. It's good that there's a person out there that I can meet on the plane and say, how is the IMC going? If it wasn't for this opportunity, I would have never known who Mr. Market is, unless I saw a photograph in a brochure or something of that sort. So I think we said that we don't want them to come for every event in Parliament. But certainly when they're presenting the strategic plans and the budget, it's good if we can have a few more people. And when they report at the end of the year on their work, it's good if we can have a wider range of people from the board members. Now, if an entity comes and says, let's say a small entity like NDDA, and say, look here, we're at the end of the year, we've got a few thousand rents left in our budget, we don't have money to bring all the board members, we can't afford it. I don't think Parliament or the committee will be unreasonable and demand that we must get all the board members. I think the sentiment is what we want to send across, that we want a slightly wider representation of board members to come. That's how I understand the decision. I don't want us to say 100% attendance, otherwise we send them packing. I don't think that is the intention. I hope I'm trying to capture what we were trying to get here. I accept, and I think the committee had accepted also, that the IMC's board is different from a normal classical board as we understand it. And you will clarify whether you are trustees or board members. The point was made the last time that you don't get any stipend for your participation in this thing. It's purely voluntary. And in that sense, there is a different element to your work. But Ms. Smart, I must indicate it. I mean, there was complete consensus in the committee last week, including from Mr. Kulsoa, that on the issue of Ms. Johnson, it's not fair to expect staff members to report on a matter which involves their former CEO. It's not fair. And I don't expect, any of the, even the acting CEO, to come and tell us why she resigned. We accept that there's a confidential agreement. And I think it's with that in mind that we insisted. And we were supported really by Mr. Swazin. I think there was nobody from the IFC. That it was important to get at least members of the board in a different capacity to come and explain to us what actually transpired. And I don't think there should be any problems about that. It's an important principle also that we must defend as a committee, that the board must report if there are serious problems in the management. And in this case, there seems to have been some problems. We'd like to hear what the details. Up till now, we've only got the media report. Mr. Maseko did say last week that that's not true. But this is the platform where you clarify those things. And that the IMC is given an official platform to state what the actual problems were. And we don't have to go into the actual settlement, because that's confidential, and I think we will respect that. So I thought I needed to clarify that, because I don't want us to leave here differing on a matter that I think we can get agreement on. I think we can get agreement across all political parties. Is how can we enhance our oversight work, and how can we get a better understanding of what's happening in an entity or an institution, getting the benefit of a diverse set of views from the board and from officials. That's really what we're trying to do here. And I hope that it's taken in that kind of spirit. We're not here to whip people or to embarrass them and to hold people here and take them away from the normal work. I don't think that's the intention of the committee at all. Now, sorry, I'll give you an opportunity. I've also got questions, but we'll take a second round also. You want to hold or you want to come in on this one?
No,
you had your hand up?
Yes, I had my hand.
You want to ask a question?
No.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
What you just said, but I wanted to ask a question. Actually, I would appreciate the IMC strategy plan. For a good cause, but I just want to know whether they have involved the community in educating them about this branding. I'm saying this because of the occurrences that are happening around around South Africa. The other thing would be, I would ask is whether they have also involved the trade union, and whether they have been discussing about this.
Shall we take all the questions and then there might be follow up on the response? I've got one or two questions also. What exactly is the relationship between IMC and Esetualism? Are you trampling on each other's toes? Is there an overlap? Is there duplication? Are there different messages going out? Not in a conscious way, but are there different messages going out? And I mean, you're an international marketing council, but I see you're placing a lot of emphasis on domestic marketing. I still want to be convinced. I understand that we can be our best ambassadors, but is that really your mandate? If you're an international marketing council, why are you placing so much emphasis on the domestic market? That's important. And I think let's have an open discussion on the issue of our difficulties. I mean, the crime, we've heard that you are having huge difficulties. I'm sure the blackout has been... electricity blackouts has been a huge problem also. Just precisely how are we dealing with it? And have you engaged on this negative message? Have you engaged with South African media? We don't want to stifle the media. They have a right to report what they want to report. But we do get a sense that compared to other countries who have crime problems, their media adopts a slightly different approach compared to the very high level of reporting, high level of very negative reporting on crime, which is doing damage to this country. Have you had any, you know, serious and sustained interaction with the domestic South African media on this issue? I think it would be good to get. And then, of course, the issue of Ms. Johnson, we all want clarity on that. If there are no other questions, let's throw it open for responses in your time.
Chairperson, I will deal with the issues that have been raised in relation to why the strategic land is not being approved on December 10th. Like you asked me in your question itself that why we are not engaged in the domestic media and to discuss that about the crime and the situation of the safety and security. So on that hand, once this plan was given to the board discussed on this point that let's evaluate that what exactly in the 8 years, 7 years, INC did and how they are working on that. And then both, all the board members realize that there is a change in the time, a change in the situation, change in the country situation, and the new challenges are coming to us. So we have to be incorporated in the strategic plan that how we deal with the new challenges and how we can get whatever we achieved already, how we have to be changed our policy. That was a basic concept on that time. And we definitely given a mandate to the international marketing. Once we are doing the all work in internationally and we are not looking to the domestic market, that maybe effect of our international marketing is not coming 100% what we expected. Because what are we doing internationally? But when the people come back to the country and they got a different feedback or a different, like you say, that the media report very differently to the time, and we are talking internationally, you know, it's a perception of something different. So both decided on that, and we have to be changed our setting. We have to work again on that and have to be increased a little bit focus on the domestic. So we can be these balancing to both our efforts and efforts will not work. That was a basic reason to be asked to the whole group and see you on that time. to change a bucket or again on the two different issues. And I hope so that the board worked very well, the whole management worked very well on the new strategy plan. And then you can see their budget also. They increased 5%. We are not spending much money on the domestic market. To awareness, to engage to the life, you ask yourself, the local media, local people, citizens, that, and the patriotism, they should be calling that towards that. Because we want the people must understand that we have some challenges, but we have to get rid of that, and we have to be talk positive. We have to be thinking on positive. It's not that if something comes immediately and we start to cry on that, no, this is not. So these words are focused, we change on our strategy. That's focus, balance to the domestic and internationally, and the new challenges, and especially on the 2010 also. On that hand, we are looking for a 2010 that we have to be aggressive in what this is an opportunity come to the country that we can catch a lot of the things, a lot of our strategies and a lot of our, we can showcase to our country in a better way to the international world. So board have a view on that case that let's work more on this, and after that the change in the strategy, and the board is very happy to see that changes.
Yeah,
board has to be given a time for Johnson. See that, see this, about the Johnson there, its issues started in a long time, that we have it from the board is facing a few problems. Yes, we evaluate in a December 2nd, but it's many of the issues is coming, which is we trying to be adopted, and finally, their communications are not coming properly there, and board realized that we have to be close this thing, whether this way or that way. And board giving a mandate to the chair that the chairman talk to the they want CEO then, and chair talk to the CEO, and then they both agree on some of the settlements. And that was the reason. It's not a particular that there's a few issues are coming that we trying to be get to be a one to be that has to be done. It is not getting be done. And like in the strategy also, the board was not happy that even giving and asking to her to be here. Incorporated is this thing, but it's not nothing comes. And also the DCSIS, they don't having a good relation. They're not getting it that what the DCSIS is expecting from them. And they both are working together. They have to be a talk in a proper manner. And then finally, EXCO also talk about this. We call to the UN also in this thing. And we ask openly discussion that can be sorted out of this process to each other. But finally, the executive committee realized that it's not coming in a final state. And then we given a mandate to the chair that, okay, let's talk then, if it's not possible, then talk to her that what she wanted, and she wanted to be a settlement with the chair. And again, you already told that it is something between, it shouldn't have been between chair and her. So I don't know, but finally she is ready to resign, and she left the organization.
Okay, sir. As a board member, just dealing with some of the other questions that came up, there was a question about the trustee. We did report at the last committee meeting that the ministers of, in the presidency, that is our minister, and the minister of environment and tourism, environmental affairs and tourism, have instituted a review of both the IMC and SA tourism with a view to just trying to look at this question of what is the best way of marketing brands of Africa and looking at issues of possible overlap between IMC and SA tourism, and I'm sure Market will deal with the issue of the different roles of this structure. So the chairperson of SA tourism and chairperson of IMC haven't given the chance to conduct this review, because we've now had the IMC for 7 years, it has played a particular role. The conditions have changed, and we think that we need to move the issue of marketing brands of Africa to a higher level. And that's what the review must tell us. What are the new things that we need to do? And the new strategy was presented to the board, and I can say with absolute confidence that what was presented here is a strategy that was adjusted after the board meeting in December. It came back to the last board meeting and it was approved. So the board, ourselves, and even the minister, are of the same mind what the direction that we need to take. But
bearing in mind that there's a review taking place, which may also introduce some new changes, some new ideas about what else we need to be doing to in terms of marketing a brand of South Africa. Then there's the question about the shareholder contract. We explained to the committee last week that the DTS audit committee has recommended that we actually come up with a shareholder contract. It's something that's also been driven by national treasury. What the shareholder compact basically tries to do is to clarify the role of the accounting officer and the agency that the accounting officer is responsible for. Because part of the tension that normally exists between the shareholder department and the agency is that some agencies tend to think that the role of the accounting department is simply to receive money from treasury and pass it on and not have any responsibility about how that money is spent, the direction of that entity, etc. So what this shareholder contract is trying to do is basically to clarify the roles of the CEO, of CEO of IMC, the role of the chairperson, the role of the board, and the role of the accounting officer with regard to this particular agency. And it's something that was also called for by the last board meeting, the IMC board meeting. They said, you know, one of the reasons why they think that there's a problem between GCIS and the CEO of IMC was because of the issue of roles not being clear between the CEO and the accounting officer of GCIS. So this shareholder contract will also clarify the roles and responsibilities between the two agencies. Yeah, I'm sure the other questions were mentioned in the connection to the.
To me, sir, and thank you for answering, but my next question, which I tried to reply to jump in before, was who pays for this industry? My concern, of course, is the fact that IMC is marketing. Some country managers are marketing. So may I have your comments, please, on the decision of the church? But I actually do want that. If you know, if the board is familiar with that, who can pay for this industry?
Okay, I can answer that. As board member and also accounting officer. The mandate of the IMC does not cover promoting any individual or political party, including the ruling party. So what was reported in the media was totally untrue, that the IMC was only campaigning to promote the image of the president of the ruling party. So that's not true. We can also say it here outright that the IMC never paid for the trip of the president of the ruling party, and we also cannot answer the question who paid for it. Because we think the question should be directed to the ruling party. So we did not, as IMC, pay for the cost of the trip. And as I was explaining the last meeting, Chair, the issue of the IMC living or the CEO of IMC living, the IMC has nothing to do with any reported interactions between the CEO and the president of the ruling party. And as you said, the mandate of the IMC is not to promote any political party. However, there's nothing that prevents the CEO or any, for that member, any member of the executive of the IMC to interact with political parties as they deem fit, because they are part of the environment in which they are operating. But whether it is the responsibility of the IMC to promote any particular party, that we can say categorically that it is not the mandate, and the IMC does not promote any individual political party. Our mandate is to promote countries of Africa, the brand of the country, not political parties.
But
next year
it was winning the president. Next year, he will be the president of the country.
Hang
on to that one.
You might have to review your strategy in December.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and honorable members. I just wanted to respond to a couple of things that the honorable members Mark raised in relation to. When I was talking about the six variables that are important in terms of nation branding, I was not at all even trying to say that we are involved in all of those. Not at all. I'm just trying to say that there are six variables that are important to look at and to understand. But the work of the IMC is focused on the following: trade, investment, and tourism. Those are the.
And so you do it from your point of view.
Those are the three. Those are the only three things that the work of the IMC is really, really dedicated to. And then from there, we just need to understand. Out of those, there are others that are basically, that are actually influenced. So I just wanted to clarify that we are not involved in all, in all, and we don't have the capacity, nor do we have the resources. But even from the mandate chapter, it actually does not come from our.
I thought you said, certainly what I mean from the document, but I thought you also said, do what you all, you actually have to, you have to do them all in order to develop a brand. Is that not what you mean?
I'm not remembering much. I was not saying that. Again, that's what I'm trying to clarify. I am trying to say that in nation brand, there are six variables that are important to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they include government, they include investment, they include the travel, and
okay.
But to understand, because those all of them, they impact in one way or the other, but on nation brand. However, the work of the INC is focusing on three elements: trade, investment, and tourism. That is really the core of the work of the international market. Jefferson, the other element I wanted to address was in relation to the issue that was raised in relation to what do we do and how do we deal with South Africans outside of South Africa who actually maybe a negative footprint, negative news about the country. That is really where the whole campaign of the global thing really comes in. The Global Citizen Campaign is about saying there is nothing such as an ex-South African. You know, once a South African, always. And of course, the point that you're raising, honorable member, to say that we want South Africans to feel free to stay wherever they are in the world, but wherever they are, to continue to spread the good news about South Africa. So really, the Global Citizen Campaign is about building really these communities of South Africans living abroad, feeding them with positive news and positive messages, and whenever we have the opportunity to even bring them together in this country, in terms of telling about how good our country, you know, is, not necessarily really running away from the challenge. That's really what the global citizen in our country is. Chairperson, the third issue is this one of international. And I think my board member here, Mr. Gupta, has actually said to that. I think basically what you said, the shift that is taken is about part of the shift. It's not about really completely moving away from the core. If you look at the budget, you can see more than 50% of our budget is still on international marketing campaigns. The domestic element is about, in branding terms, you have to be able to prepare the domestic base so that what you preach internationally, chapter, when people come here, people can see. There is nothing as dangerous in marketing to make a promise that you cannot fulfill, because then you are seen as lying or not being real. So we say, when we say to South Africa, when we go international and we say that South Africans are welcoming, they are warm, and they're friendly, then we have to create an environment where when people come here, they actually feel that. So it is that element of inspiring South Africans that we continue to do, but not to say that it is a core element. It cannot be the core of the international movement. And as the chairperson correctly points out, and we take that the core part work of the international marketing center will continue and must continue to be international. In relation to the issue of the relationship between South African tourism and the international marketing council, I've been working very, very closely with the international marketing council in the last 18 years, which is the reason why Chairperson, the CEO of the IMC, is speaking on my board for South African tourism, and she's the chairperson of the marketing committee of the board.
I have been seeking funding from the Marketing Council, simply because to make sure that we needed to make sure that our activities fix the infrastructure. And we try to minimize the potential overlap that they create. Having said that, Mr. President, I must admit, there has been a lot of overlap, which is why Mr. Mustafa said that's why the review by the two ministers, having regard to that, has been actually to say now, how do we now, given where we are, and our ambition is to position South Africa as a world-class brand, do we make sure that the alignment is very, very neat and really takes it into account? So the next 6 months, Chair President, we're going to be reviewing the work of the IMC for the last 6 years, the work of South African tourism for the last 6 years, look at potential area of overlap and clean room area, and make sure that the machinery that is the IMC focus predominantly on all the countries, and South African tourism on the outside focus on, that. So that's really where we've been doing that. But I wanted to say to the Chair President, at a practical level, there has been a very good relationship between the two organizations in terms of making sure that we try to align our work as much as possible. In terms of how are we engaging the domestic community, the movement to boost campaign, which was really launched last year, seeks to really appeal to South Africa. And the way we're going to be doing it, in fact, the board has been pushing up quite a lot in this regard, is to make sure that this campaign is also developed in all languages, so that we reach South Africans across the board, particularly using radio, given how effective radio is as a tool to be able to communicate. And it's going to be appealing to South Africans around this issue. I must emphasize, the work of the IMC does not fit together in the politics at all. We just work out on here. The aim is to make sure that given the mandate that you've been given by this parliament and by the cabinet, that we do exactly that. So really it's about engaging communities using radio, but also we're going to go on television showing some of those stories so that we hopefully can inspire South Africans to say that, you know, there are South Africans doing good out there. Can you please work with us? Chairman, I'm not going to try to answer each and every question. I think some of my colleagues also have been able to respond to some. Thank you very much.
There's a question about on the crime issue, I think it was your question, whether we interact sufficiently with the media. That interaction is taking place at the political level, where ministers and senior editors interact on a regular basis about media coverage in the country. And at least once a year, we have a full session of SANEF, which is the South African National Editors Forum, with a full term to discuss media coverage on issues such as crime and many other stories. So there is that interaction. But part of the challenge that we're facing, in not just in South Africa, but in the world, is the fact that bad news sell newspapers, but good news stories don't sell newspapers. So what you're finding is that increasingly all the negative stories about the country are actually making their way into the front pages of the newspapers, and all the good news stories will be in your middle section or in the last pages of newspapers. So it's a challenge that we try to debate in the media. And what we think should happen is a healthy balance needs to recover, so that, you know, you don't have a situation where each and every single day all South Africans wake up to all the negative things that are happening in the country, because that tends to have quite a negative effect on the most general. Without necessarily saying that the bad news stories should not be covered at all, but it's a slant that we give to this whole debate, and we think that in fact it's possible for the country to reach some kind of a level where we can be able to say yes, inform South Africans about what's truly happening, but what's truly happening in South Africa is not just the bad news. So it's quite a good balance, but it's a huge debate with the media, because media are in the business of media. Yes, to inform, but also to make a profit to their businesses. And unfortunately, even us as citizens, we tend to buy newspapers if the headline story is about murder, about killing, about a terrible rape, about a terrible accident, but if the headline is a positive story, chances are that all of us sitting in this room will not rush into a shop to buy a newspaper because we saw a negative poster. But the interaction, to answer your question directly, it's an ongoing interaction between the government and the media.
It's South Africa being a big brother in Africa. Can I just add on a rider to that? You see, one of the things about policies or programs is unintended consequences. Now, we do have a major growing problem of illegal immigration into the country, particularly from Africa, but also other third world countries. The more you market South Africa in Africa, are we not going to see another problem, saying, "Ah, but it's the land of honey, milk and honey. We must get there through any means, fair or foul." How are we dealing with this matter?
Extremely attempted. You know, just in terms of that, because worldwide is a perception that refugees is equal to crime. And very often when you find, when you talk to everyone, you find out they're pretty well skilled. Mm-hmm. And how come, if I add it to them, why is it that it's only a xenophobic tendency? And we've seen it across the country. I couldn't believe it. Kutsom, they've got its own problem. So let's find time to be xenophobic to Africans. I couldn't understand that. It's not problems of the elders cross borders, all of that nonsense. They couldn't deal with that. But they were fighting among fellow Africans. Is the point is that refugees equals problems. It can't be, cannot be equal to that. It's something similar. Cape place equals gangsterism. It's not true. There's too many good people coming from the Cape place. The tendency we don't talk about is routine. That's why we don't have that balanced kind of approach to the media. But I don't expect the IMC to lie and say there's no crime. There is, but parallel to that, what is a good intention, a good attempt that's being made to deal with that?
I believe this is really where we can get a lot of guidance from the community. Because as it was said earlier, there are two issues here. Some of which is the behavior issue. And I think it is important, as the Honourable Member was saying, that we need to have a conversation among South Africans. How do we conduct ourselves when we go in? And I think it's a fair issue that needs to be addressed from a leadership point of view. That's one thing. And I think that element, I think that's where we can get leadership really from this committee in terms of like how government departments go into Africa, how does corporate South Africa go into Africa, and then how do we engage with other actors, other Africans, and do that. The other one, I just think, from a marketing point of view. And I just want to paint this example, just using politics as an example. I've been dealing with this element of our 8 years. 67% of the South African tourism base is African. And the complaints that we get from these Africans is that I walk into a hotel, I get treated badly. The level of xenophobia, the level of service that I get purely by being an African. Johannesburg, 35% of the accommodation there is occupied by Africans. And if they stop coming to us, and that's the impact on the economy of Johannesburg that you're here. So I have gone on record in the tourism industry, engaging the industry, to say that the time for the color of money is long gone. Because the people who actually the bread and butter for the industry in this country are Africans. And to be able to really engage internal chapters about how do we actually change the mindset of our hoteliers, of our restaurants,
and places of interest to justify to impress upon them the importance of the media market. Last but not least, there are also different opportunities that now South Africa and Africa are presented. 2010 is one. It's one of them. Our government has been very clear that 2010 cannot only benefit South Africa, but Africa. And if you look at the marketing then that they're starting to do in that regard, to try to spread that message. So it is really about how do you arrange that kind of balance correct between the marketing South Africa and not the other end of South Africa. But we've seen there are certain things that Africans that we can come into South Africa, and we are happy to welcome you and to you. And I think that's really the element. And to some extent, Jefferson, our work is really about trying to really trade fast and try to deal with that level of sensitivity. But what I cannot do, Jefferson, is to try to tell my leaders how to deal with Africans and legal in the country. I think that I really see people there. Thank you very much.
Any other comments, questions?
Sure. I think this committee really needs to take comfort in one thing, that this whole notion of nation branding, South Africa is now recognized more than 10 countries in the world, taking a very difficult topic and in fact putting it into an international perspective. So you're now seeing history being written. I think from a board member's point of view, although there's been a slightly cut for the CEO, I'm certainly very, very happy that the roots are there. The requirement for the board to have a strategy revisited has been well done. And I think you can take a lot of comfort from the fact that we're going to see more confidence in the future. This plan up to 2010 is well thought out. With under heavy scrutiny, if you look at the composition of the board itself, they are highly critical. People who, in a matter of principle, were not stuck around, they were concerned that the CEO was listed on some fallacious ground. And I believe that that is a very, very important issue. There are people there that are doing it and are loving this country, and in fact, people are highly committed. And what you're seeing in unfolding here is something that my books all over the world. It's a subject that business school and academia are now looking at. How can you take a brand that is so difficult to put across, so diverse, and in fact, get success with everybody? So I think we need to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the debate tomorrow, from what you told me earlier, you want the board and all the management to stay over for Kepler's visit of fundraising drive that they spent enough money. tomorrow after I'll put it extremely poor. So all these good things so they can pay for the money.
Thank you very much. All right, I think there's no further questions then. I want to really sincerely thank the members of the board. I know we've put a lot of pressure on you. By Friday, Temba was still sending me all sorts of letters, but it's a great pleasure to have met some of the people here. I know Ajay in another context. I didn't know he's on the board of IMC. So that's the benefit of this day. So I think it's been a positive development. Thank you very much. And tomorrow we look forward to quite an exciting parliamentary debate. I'm looking at the parliamentary debate tomorrow. No, if you want to raise anything.
Yes, I just want to raise something. So just a brief of clarity, and that is, say, how many members do this portfolio committee have at the moment?
We have on file now officially 11 on the committee membership list, am I right? We are standing apologies from Freedom Front. Officially it's 11.
What the quorum would be.
What is the quorum?
The quorum would be 6 that Rita has advised me, but when we took a decision this morning, there were 7 people there.
Yeah.
So it's within the procedure. Thank you very much. I'm not too sure if I can invite you to lunch. There's no lunch. But thank you very much for your presence.
I have I don't know about all the people that are
Let me just check with him because you see after. Let me just check with them because the only I know there is this people have invited us to attend it. And
why don't we take it fine for Eric on the three after so that
can I just check with Randy?
Are you mobile?
No. Take and kiss for them.
Can I just ANC members, 1 minute please? ANC members, 1 minute, ne? I need to focus with you. The GT might have told you that I'm probably not going to be there.
No.